Welcome to Greatness, where the world's leading thinkers share their ideas about how to create greatness, great leaders, great teams, and great organizations. Why be good when you can be great? This is Gretchen Gagle, and I am so excited to welcome Lisa Hinz, founder of The Confidence Track, a leadership development and coaching firm, to the Greatness Podcast. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Lisa and I were connected. I love all the different ways that people connect me to other amazing women in the construction industry. We were connected by a mutual friend. And I interviewed you for my book and for a study I was doing for the Construction User Roundtable. And I thought, gosh, Lisa's doing a lot of amazing things. I really need to have Lisa on the Greatness Podcast. But before we get into the amazing things that you're doing, Lisa, I love starting with, how did you become passionate about what you're passionate about today? How did you end up in the construction industry? I guess let's start there.
Well, I took on a role, Gretchen, it was actually a startup group within one of the largest construction engineering firms, at least in North America, and was put in charge of growing the team, hiring folks, training, operations, pretty much all of that. And then eventually I was identified as a successor to one day take over the group. And what I found so interesting and was unexpected for me is the day came when I was offered the promotion that I had been being groomed for, trained for, all of that, and I couldn't do it. Imposter syndrome really kicked in, and I was really struggling with the thought of taking on a role that I did not feel that I was ready for. And what I realized in going through that entire experience is that, you know, when we promote people, we give them opportunities, confidence is always assumed. And a lot of times in professional development programs and trainings, confidence is never really addressed. And I found that that was really a gap, not just for me, but as I started talking with people and interviewing folks, there's a lot of self-doubt that comes up, and it's hard for someone to talk openly about it because it's like admitting that, hey, I'm not confident enough to take on this role, or I'm really struggling in this area. That's just a topic that's not easy for people to talk about. And so I felt that there was a gap there in really building that foundation, which I feel is the foundation of all leadership skills, which is that confidence. And so that's how I ended up doing now what I'm doing today. And it's not the only topic I focus on, but it certainly is the foundation upon which I build all of my programs and coaching. Mm.
And that was the immediate connection, because I've spent so much time in the last 5 years with this women's leadership program I've been running in the pipeline industry in Australia, talking about confidence, talking about imposter syndrome, and really becoming more present to the confidence deficit that a lot of people, male, female, you know, regardless of gender. Just to back up a little bit, how did you end up in construction in the first place?
I worked for a couple of smaller engineering firms years ago. I lived in Omaha for many years. And so I had experience with that and on the proposal side. And living in Omaha for so long, there's some pretty well-known firms in that area. And eventually I saw a position for a creative manager at that time. And with my proposal and marketing background that I had, I reached out to connections that I knew within that company, and it got me an interview and got me the job. And so I worked for a large proposal group that focused on infrastructure projects, and we grew that group from, I think I was employee number 6 when I started, to 75 people when I took over the group and I was director over that. So we had 75 folks across the US and Canada. So we saw tremendous growth, which was amazing in so many ways.
So you did accept the position. So you're running this group with 75 people and feeling this imposter syndrome, did somebody convince you to take it? I mean, that's one thing I'm learning from women, is a lot of them are saying, you know, someone pushed me. Someone said, I said, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think I can do this. And somebody said, no, you're actually going to do this.
I initially turned down the promotion, which is insane. And it took me some time. I struggled with that. There was a sense of relief a little bit when I turned it down because I felt, okay, whew, right? I don't have that pressure. I don't have to worry about failing and disappointing people. But what I wasn't expecting was also that shame and disappointment in myself that came with that, and even embarrassment when I would see these executives who believed in me and thought that I was the next person for this role. And I wasn't expecting that side of it. But as I continued, I was basically doing the job already anyway. And I worked with a coach, and she asked me some questions that really made me think about my situation and see how I was really impeding my own progress and that I could do it. They believed in me enough to offer it to me in the first place. They would support me, provide resources, all of that. So why was I creating such a roadblock for myself? So it did. Honestly, it was working with a coach to help me see a different side of things that I just was not able to see myself. And so I expressed interest that, hey, if you're willing to give me another opportunity at some point, I would really love to take on this position if that opportunity opens again. And it was about a year and a half later. I did a lot of work on myself, but eventually they offered me the role and I took it. So it was not a short process for me at that time.
Congratulations. And it's so interesting. I have a coach, and people are surprised sometimes. I think that I have a coach. They're like, Gretchen, you coach other people. Why would you need a coach? I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody needs a coach in my mind, right? I'm not a fully formed human being or leader, or there's always room for improvement. So thank you for sharing that. I think great coaches, they ask you great questions and they help you reframe the way you're thinking about something. And that's the gift that they give us when they're coaching us. So you accept the position and you're in the position and you're successful in the position, but still struggling with imposter syndrome at that point?
Yeah, it did not just go away. And I think that's the thing with imposter syndrome. I don't know if it ever completely goes away, but there are certainly ways to manage it, which I have learned. I've developed new habits that have supported me when I go down that rabbit hole, or that have helped prevent me from going down that rabbit hole that I once knew way too well. And so I can't promise anyone that you do the work and then you wake up one day and it's just gone, or that you do the work and it'll never come up again. Like, you're good, right? And so it's a constant work in progress, I think. But again, when you're very aware of it and intentional with actions that you take, it can be managed and it can prevent it from just taking over. Because once it takes over, it's easy to just ruminate on that, and it's hard to get out of sometimes.
So then at some point you take the leap, you say, okay, I love this company. And how long had you been in the construction industry at this point when you took the leap and started your own company?
Well, with this particular company, I was with them for over 9 years.
Wow. And then you say, hey, I want to go help other people with all this. So what does that look like today? What's your life work today?
It has been a really amazing journey. It's been 2 years since I took that leap. And the amazing thing is that I talk to people, I find out what the challenges are. I can build programs, like my own programs, that address these issues that are really needing to be addressed. That, again, I feel that a lot of typical leadership development trainings don't necessarily dive into. And a lot of it is that, again, confidence, it's getting to know yourself. It's that self-awareness as a leader. A lot of times we are just in reaction mode every day, that over the course of time, eventually you don't even know really where your reactions are coming from. You're just reacting because you're putting out fires, you're managing up, you're managing down, you're juggling so many things, that a lot of it's done without intention or really thinking about it. And when it gets to that point, how impactful are you being as a leader? How influential are you being as a leader? Are you really in tune with your team and seeing what's going on with them. What is the culture like? What is the morale like? And it's been fascinating to help leaders unpack this stuff that they weren't even aware of. And then to see the results on the other side has been extremely rewarding.
That's amazing. So let's dive into this a little more. And as I said, this women's leadership program, we did a survey, I think after the first three cohorts, so maybe 75 women had gone through the program, and 90% reported an increase in confidence. I was shocked by that.
That's amazing.
I was just really surprised by that. So then these are huge topics that we're covering in the span of a podcast, but let's talk about confidence. What have you found to be some of the techniques for people, for our listeners out there, if they think, gosh, I'm lacking a little confidence? What's the starting point for that?
I think one of the most impactful things that I've seen through my programs. So I do these Women's Leadership Success Mastermind programs, and they're small cohorts. And I designed them that way specifically so that everyone has a chance to engage. And some of the sessions are focused solely on open floor discussion. People can bring a current challenge they're facing to the group and get the collective wisdom shared amongst everyone. And I think a big thing is simply knowing that you're not the only person, like you're not alone in this. I mentioned earlier on when we started talking that it's hard for people to bring up and say, hey, you know what, man, my self-doubt is like through the roof right now. I'm not confident in decisions. A lot of leaders would never want to admit that openly. So there is power to that collective wisdom and shared experience with others to know that you really aren't alone. And being able to talk about it in a safe environment is a huge thing. And it goes a long ways in helping someone to cope with that. But it's also becoming self-aware of what are my limiting beliefs and where do those come from? And what are the triggers that bring them up? And when you start to understand what the triggers are, you can come up with some type of action or response, an intentional one, that can help to minimize the impact that that trigger used to have on you. So there's a lot of work that I do with identifying what those limiting beliefs are, what are the triggers. Let's come up with some actions that can be taken so that it really reframes how you look at it and sends you in a different direction than down that self-doubt direction.
What an incredible resource you are to people. And Alison Shamir, a friend of mine I've gotten to know over in Australia, she's one of probably the six top global experts on imposter syndrome, I would say. And she suffered from imposter syndrome. She comes from a very genuine place of having had it, and now it's her life's work as well. And she's really helped me understand the difference between lack of confidence and imposter syndrome, because I think we use imposter syndrome a lot, but it's really different than a lack of confidence.
Yes, I agree with that. Imposter syndrome is more about your feeling like a fraud, like you're waiting for people to find out that maybe you're not the right person for the role, or that you don't deserve to be where you are. Confidence on its own, I mean, it ties into imposter syndrome, of course, but I can lack confidence in maybe building a website, for example, because I don't have all of the skill sets yet. That doesn't mean that I feel like a fraud in trying to build a website. I'm just learning, and I have some self-doubt or just not knowing and having the skill sets to do that yet. So there's definitely a difference. There's a tie. But there's definitely a separation when you're talking about the two.
And do you think there's things inherent to the and when I say construction, I mean everything about it, engineering, you know, building materials, and really mining and energy. I've spent a lot of time in there. Do you think there's things inherent to the industry that make it challenging for women to have confidence?
I do. I've seen this myself, and I've had many women talk to me about it. I go out and speak on imposter syndrome, and I get a lot of questions from the audience at the end. And then I have people come up to me. And what happens a lot in the industry, Gretchen, is that there are still a lot of old ways of thinking within the industry. It just comes with tenure for being in positions for decades. And it used to be much more male dominated. And some of those people that have been around longer, that's the way things always were. And so I've had a lot of women that have said, you know, it's hard for me. I'm the only woman who attends this meeting, and I am number one, the youngest, but I'm the only female in there, and I get talked over, and I just don't feel that my suggestions are taken seriously. They go to the old proven, you know, people in the room. And so I do think there are challenges within the industry. I do think it's getting much better, but I just think it takes time, and it will continue to take time for that to eventually work itself out. But there are definitely inherent challenges within the industry.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I was in a job site walk, kind of an update, and experienced a woman being spoken over, a young woman. And I later asked some of the male attendees whether they were present to that happening, and some were and some weren't. And I think that step of being present to how the lived experience of other people in the room and what people are experiencing in our industry. What if you had a 100 women in a room that are starting out in the construction industry, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them to learn how to use assertiveness in the right way at the right time. For example, being talked over. There are ways that someone can interject and point out that they were being talked over. For example, if say John Doe talks over me and say, "Oh, excuse me, John, I wasn't finished with my point yet." Or there are ways that people can point that out, and without coming across in a bad negative way, but making it obvious to the person and also the people in the room that, oh yeah, right, John did speak over her, and good for her for speaking up and getting her point across. So a lot, and the second one would be to stop over apologizing. I think that diminishes a person's credibility amongst a team is when, and as women, we tend to over apologize more than men do. And we don't realize that we're doing it. To have someone point out that you are doing these things, and again, to correct those communication styles and approaches, can really help a place or a person to establish more of that executive presence that commands the respect and time and attention of others.
So we've got another room and we've got 100 men in it, or non-binary, or, you know, something other than people who identify as women. What advice do you give those people on supporting women in the industry?
Be aware of some of these biases that do happen in the workplace. Again, I think a lot of people aren't even aware of it. It's just the way things have always happened, and so they don't think any different of it. But when these situations are pointed out, and asking people in the room to take sponsorship over someone, people need mentors and sponsors. So for example, if you're the older white male in the room who's been in the industry for 30 years, and take on some sponsorship of some young women who are smart and they're, you know, they want to achieve a lot. They want to share ideas and protect their time in a room like that. Ask out and call out and say, "Hey, Lisa, I'd really like to know what you think about this," and help to provide that space. And when you do that, other people are seeing that you're doing that too. And then you're an example of how things should be versus letting the same old ways continue and then no progress is made in that area.
Yeah. Sponsorship. It's such an important concept. And the other concept I've been spent, people ask me, what's the difference between a mentor and a sponsor? You know, a mentor gives you advice. They could be inside your company, outside of your company. They can give you personal advice, professional advice. I have 4 mentors. I talk to them about different things. But a sponsor is actively advocating for you in your career path. They often know where you're trying to get to. They can offer you, they can advocate for you, make sure you're assigned to certain projects, or you can talk to them and say, "Hey, I want to get to this position. What skills do you think I need? How do I get there?" But and then the other thing is allyship. And I've been spending a lot more time thinking about what we look like as allies. And that's not a male-female thing, just female, male-female. It's everything. It's in every direction. How we are allies to one another. How do you experience that, Lisa, or talk about allyship?
I feel that women need to definitely promote other women, and there can be this sense of competition that there's only so much success to go around. If someone is successful, that means there's less success for me to have. And I think there's this competition, and maybe social media has fed into that, where we are constantly comparing ourselves to others and maybe get a little bit jealous or feel intimidated by being around others who have experienced success, especially a success that we desire to achieve. And we need to get past that and look at each other as allies, and not just finding men as allies, but us as women. Why would we not want to support each other and help each other grow? And it's a two-way street. It's, you know, again, it's helping each other. It's not one giving and one taking, and that's all it is. But there's room for all of us to elevate and grow. And if we became champions for each other, I was reading just the other day some research on women and confidence, and how having a sponsor or mentor, a woman sponsor or mentor, has really helped to elevate the other person's confidence, because they can see what's possible. They are an example of what they can achieve. And it goes so far in having that. So allyship is a huge thing. It's not competition. It's about supporting one another and raising each other up.
Yeah, I feel very lucky that, well, my first career in manufacturing, I didn't have any women to be allies, because I was the only woman manager out of 62 in the country. But I had an experience early in my career of kind of that mean girl syndrome, where I went, that's never going to be me. I'm always going to lift up other women and help them be successful. And I, as we're recording, it's ironic, I just thought of this, the amazing Barb Grogan. I'm sitting in her house right now. When I left the construction industry for a hiatus, two amazing things happened to me. I was president of a women's foundation. So I went from 20 years in manufacturing and construction to being immersed in this community of amazing women. And one of my mentors, Hugh Rice, who's very prominent in the construction industry, said, you need to go meet Barb Grogan. And she had sold her construction company, so she was in construction too. And she was being honored at something. And I think it was the Red Cross. She was being given an award at a big breakfast. And I went up to her afterwards and said, hey, I'm the new president of the Women's Foundation. And Hugh Rice says I should meet you. I'm getting connected in the philanthropic community here in Denver. And she took my card and thanked me. And then she called me the next day. And this is a woman who was like first female chair of the Chamber of Commerce, first female on the Kansas City Federal Reserve for, you know, just stepped down as chair of the board of Metro State University here in Denver. And she called me. I was just blown away by the fact, and we've become fast friends. And so that experience of deeply networking with women outside of construction, which I never would have had the network I have of women, but then coming back into the construction industry and bringing that passion for women supporting other women, not to the detriment of men. I think that's the one thing I always try and stress, is that we're not trying to become more confident to overpower men. This isn't, it's back to your point about it's a growth mindset, right? There's enough success for all of us men and women. We have so much to do in the industry that it's not our success at the expense of someone else. That would be very selfish. But it is this camaraderie that I think men have felt for decades, and they don't understand that we haven't felt that same camaraderie because there wasn't enough of us to have any camaraderie until I, you know, stepped out of the industry.
I think that's such a great way to say that, Gretchen. I think that's a way that would really connect on all sides of the table for people to realize that from an empathetic standpoint, is you're right. We just didn't have the numbers to be able to do that and support each other like they have had for all of these years. And they know how important that is. So imagine for us how important that is as well.
Lisa, I was talking before we started recording. Barb and I throw these little construction dinners. We've been doing it for about 10 years, women executives in construction. And I'm not having this one this trip, but I will definitely be having one the next trip. But I just had the first one in Kansas City 2 weeks ago. My grandchildren have ended up there. I grew up there. I now own a place there. So I'm making new friends in Kansas City, and 18 of us had dinner. And some of them I'd met, some of them I hadn't, but I just kept asking people, who should I know? Who should I know? You know, Beth, the CFO of J.E. Dunn, or, you know, this person or that person. And everyone was like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, we're just going to have a really good time and hang out and have dinner. And by the end of the dinner, everyone's like, oh my gosh, when's the next one? And because they'd never done that. And it's so much fun for me, I think, at this point in my career I'm actually having my first one in Sydney, Australia, and in the coming weeks. And so I thought, well, gosh, I've been doing this in Denver forever. Why am I not doing this in other cities? So I think anything that those listening out there, I'm always trying to throw out ideas, how we build camaraderie, how we support one another. And I think another point about allyship is not walking past behavior that's not appropriate and standing up and advocating, whether it's somebody being treated disrespectfully, male, female. Again, it's not a gender specific thing. It's about inclusion, people feeling like they belong, and people feeling like they're respected in our industry.
Yeah, it's about right or wrong. And again, supporting each other in a positive way. And I love the community that you're building away from just straight networking events and conferences, but to just sit down and get to know each other as people, that's huge.
Lisa, I could talk to you for hours about this. As we wrap up, I always like to end with a couple of a tip or two for our listeners out there. If somebody out there, either they're suffering from a lack of confidence, or they see a colleague that they feel might not have as much confidence or might have imposter syndrome, what are your parting tips for our listening audience?
My number one most important tip when it comes to that is find somebody to talk to. I kept mine a secret for a long time, and it impacted me mentally, emotionally, even physically. You need to get it out. So find a trusted person. And if you see someone else who might be struggling, offer to be that person to them, because they just need someone to talk to. And again, if you can talk with someone about it, it makes a huge difference for you and how you deal with that.
Yeah, that psychological safety to be vulnerable. Lisa, how do people find you?
They can find me. My website is theconfidencetrack.com. And I'm on LinkedIn as well, Lisa Hins. So you can find me on LinkedIn or also search The Confidence Track.
The Confidence Track. Great. I'm so thrilled to continue to be introduced to amazing people, and especially women that are rolling up their sleeves and making it a better industry. Lisa, thank you so much for taking time to join the Greatness Podcast.
Thank you, Gretchen. I appreciate it.
Interested in hearing more? Visit us at greatnessconsulting.com. Thank you.